League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Okay, welcome back in, everybody. Been a fast-paced morning. It normally is here on the Budweiser Sports Line. We appreciate you being a part of it, as always. We also appreciate our man Jason Caldwell on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. He's from inside the Auburn Tigers. Jason, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How about y'all?
We're doing great. Sitting here first thing this morning and reading Mark Murphy's wrap-up of the Auburn basketball loss in overtime to Missouri in the opening round of the SEC tournament last night. Jason, we've spent an hour and a half sort of dissecting just exactly how excruciating that loss was for Auburn yesterday. So we don't want to reconstruct it, but I would like to get your take on the whole thing from last night.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of more of the same. You kept waiting on this team to take those steps forward and grow and do those things, and it just never happened. And now they've got a long offseason to think about it and figure out what they need to do to be that team. And you know, maturity, some of those things will help. But this is a group of freshmen. They play a lot of basketball, and sooner or later, you're not a freshman anymore. And they never kind of they did at times got to the next stage, but they didn't stay there. And that's the thing that in the end was probably the storyline of the season. It was kind of all encompassed in one 5 or 6 minute stretch of basketball last night for them. It's kind of the story of the season. Missed opportunities and kind of what could have been, because it's a team that you look and that's three for sure games that you pretty much had in the bag. And Ole Miss, Georgia, you lead by really 20 in both those games. And then last night, you're talking about 21-win team. And, that would be a definite NIT team. But now he knows what happens. I'm not really sure that they even worry about the CBI at this point and just kind of starting to get ready for next year.
Yeah, that's what we've talked a lot about so much this morning, Jason, and Bruce Pearl, said he'd comment on it next week. But you got to be thinking, why don't we just get ready for next year? I mean, some people say, the team can play together and have more time together. It's got to be a good thing. But I'm not convinced of that. I mean, these kids play basketball every day anyway. I'm not sure playing in the CBI is going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, it's been different had you won 5 out of your last 8 to get the 18 wins, and you were kind of peaking and playing better and better and better and doing those things. It'd be different if that was the case. I think losing 6 out of 8 to finish the year, I think it just makes for a different feel altogether. I think if you were climbing, winning, say you were 16 wins and you won 2 SEC tournament games to get to 18, then maybe it's a different story. I just don't know right now that that it's going to be beneficial. Now, having said that, anytime you can get extra practice time and just get a feel for the postseason, it's not going to hurt. So if they decide to do it, it's something that could help them anyway. But I just don't know that it's going to have a huge worthwhile effect at this point.
Quick final thought about last night. Obviously, other than giving away a 6-point lead in the final 26 seconds, giving up the wide open jumper at the end of regulation to go to overtime, giving up the wide open jumper at the end of overtime to lose it, other than those defensive miscues, what were the real critical failures down the stretch for Auburn, Jason?
I think for a lot of it for this team, it's just selection, composure, those things that taking, you know, maybe shots you shouldn't take, doing some of those things. I think that's a lot of it. But you know, you're looking for this thing last night, turnovers, and you know, you have a critical one there, you know, a late offensive foul, and you know, when you've got a 3-point lead, you know, Jared Harper out there, and then, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one that, you know, probably 99% of the time in college basketball, they anticipate a foul. As soon as that guy makes contact, they're going to call a foul. And so that 99% of the time, Jared Harper never has to fend off a guy because it's already going to be called. But once that happens, you just can't raise your elbow because that's going to be an automatic thing. I don't think it was malicious. And there was a foul before that ever happened, but you can't give the official an opportunity to make that call either. So, I mean, physical turnovers and mistakes down the stretch too. But, you know, I think you look and it was you know, kind of everything. It was everything and everybody, even the soccer hair, and that's 15 points, 14 rebounds, but 7 turnovers. So there was nobody that you go, hey, that guy played a really clean basketball game. It was kind of everybody did their part and kind of how it ended.
Jason Caldwell, AUTigers.com. We turn our attention now to the ongoing spring practice with Auburn football. And a couple of quarterback notes I wanted to ask you about. Does it feel like, is it obvious that John Franklin III is a full-time wide receiver now, Jason?
Yeah, it sure looks that way. You know, the first thing is you get up there and you run a blue jersey. And quarterbacks wear orange jersey. It definitely has the look and feel of him being a wide receiver. And I think, you know, Chip Lindsey said, if he doesn't win the job, he's going to be a wide receiver. Well, if he's working some at wide receiver already, then he's not going to win the job. And so it's kind of one of those you know, things that give and take, it's just going to be that way. And so I think it's a great move for everybody involved. You know, first and foremost, for John Franklin, he's not a guy that has the NFL future as a quarterback. And so, if he's a guy that wants an opportunity to make it to the next level, then it has to be in another position. So, I think it's, you know, a starting point for him and, you know, for all of us. You know, Garrett Stidham and Sean White. And then, you know, you look at Malik Willis and Woody Baird, have both done some good things already this spring. So, you start going, okay. You may have 3 or 4 quarterbacks that you feel fairly good about. There's not a reason to have a fifth. I mean, you know, fifth or sixth or whatever. When you got a guy that can maybe help you in another position like John Franklin can.
Jason, seems to be that Jarrett Stidham's everything that we've heard he is. Some of the nuggets that we're hearing seep through spring practice and some control scrimmages is that Jarrett has certainly has stepped into that role, not only with his ability to throw the football, but also from a leadership standpoint, that the team seems to have really rallied around him.
Yeah, I think probably as much as anything, you know, it's kind of like being a pitcher in baseball. You got to have a little bit of that edge, and the word that we've been kind of hearing is moxie. You got to have a little bit of moxie to play the quarterback position and kind of be that guy. I think he's shown that so far, leadership, and just kind of, you can see him kind of bringing everybody along. And, you know, we talked to several players like Nate Craig, and he said, you know, he's a guy that'll kind of get you going. And you know, I think that's important for the quarterback position. And you got to back it up with your own play, too. And I think he's done that, kind of shown some of those signs already. You know, they'll practice today and then have a spring break week. And then come back and then start to scrimmage and do some things and learn a lot more about him and the rest of the offense at that time. But I think so far, you know, he's done what they were looking for him to do early in spring.
Jason, what's the nature of Sean White's participation in spring practice?
Yeah, you know, when they do individual drills, do the warm-up and do those things, you know, where there's not really team activity, he's able to throw and do some of that. And I think that's, you know, really a good starting point for him because, you know, he actually looks pretty good throwing it, you know. And I think, you know, for Sean in the end, the forearm break that he suffered in the Sugar Bowl could be a huge blessing in disguise for him, because you know, what it's done is it allowed that shoulder to get, you know, a couple more months of rest. It was good and much better in bowl practices than it had been, you know, really for the last month of the regular season. Now it's had another 2 months to heal, to get stronger. And, well, yeah, he's all looks good. You know, they just want to make sure that they don't put him in harm's way in terms of contact, those kind of things. But, you know, I think right now he's able to throw, learn. And Chief Lindsey said, hey, he's another teacher out there helping coach those young guys. And so I think Sean White's in a pretty good position. And Chief Lindsey said the other day, look, he's going to have a shot. And so I think he watched and see Sean White. He'd like to finish a piece of this job before it's all set down.
My son Jack is a proud graduate and alumnus of Beauregard High School. I watched LaDamian Webb for Beauregard last year because of my connection. 47 touchdowns, ran for 3,000 yards. He's about to be a senior. He's not especially big. Jason, in terms of Auburn's involvement with LaDamian Webb, is he a significant prospect, and is there significant interest in this kid from Auburn?
I don't know if it's significant. I think there's interest. I think for them, you know, it's a matter of kind of keeping an eye on him, you know, want to see him in the spring, and kind of get a better feel for things. I think that's it. And I, you know, my guess is they probably want to get him to camp and see, okay, how does he measure in terms of height, weight, exactly. And you know, what's his speed like? How does he run? Do those things. So, you know he's a good football player. You can see that already. Does it translate to the next level in terms of being an SEC guy? I mean, you know, that's always a question of other size. He's definitely not a very big guy. And he's a power guy. He runs really hard. And you know, can you do those things and be successful in the SEC of this size? Do you need more speed? All those things. I think those are things that they have to kind of figure out and learn more about, and they'll have a spring, and then they'll probably try to get him on campus for a camp in the summer to check that out.
Before we let you go, and I thought that was going to be my last question, somebody just texted in this. It's kind of a local angle on this. In spring practice so far, somebody wanted me to get your read on the progress being made by Prince Tega Wanogo after the position change. He's from Edgewood Academy.
The thing about Prince that first distracts you, and I've written a story and haven't put it up yet. I was saving it for next week, but my kind of lead was, if you look up left tackle in the dictionary, you find something that looked a whole lot like Prince Tega. If you look at him, and he's 6'8", 300 pounds now, you watch him on the field, he's physical, and he gets after it, and a guy that, the craziest thing about him is we've been talking about him for 3 or 4 years, but he's just played offensive line for less than a year. So last summer he gets moved to offensive line. He gets moved to left tackle on bowl practice, so he's still kind of raw at that position, but you can see the athleticism. He's a smart guy. He works really hard. I think he'll get a chance to compete there. He's doing a really good job, but it won't be long before I think he either wins the job or gets in the mix. And then I think we're talking about him as a future NFL offensive tackle.
Wow.
You know, sooner rather than later. I think he has that much ability.
Exciting news. That will certainly be something to watch and keep an eye on, no doubt about it. All right. Of course, Auburn spring football, obviously in full swing, a lot of other spring sports going on as well, some recruiting information. Jason, you guys at Inside the Auburn Tigers have it covered to the max. Let our listeners know how they can get more involved with what you guys do.
You can check us out at autigers.com. It's part of the Scout Network, and you can also find me on Twitter at ITAPJ.
Great to hear from you, Jason. Thanks so much for the time. We'll visit again soon.
Sounds good, guys.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.